Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News, and it's Friday, so I'm opening up the mail. But I'm going to do this one a little differently this time. I've got a bunch of questions that you guys sent to me on Twitter, so I want to do a marathon mailbag. Usually I take a look at the questions, parse through them, and prepare my responses before I start recording, but for this episode, I haven't even looked at the questions yet, so I'm just going to scroll through my Twitter timeline, basically, through my mentions, and answer as many of them as I can with just my immediate thoughts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do it. A marathon mailbag. This first question comes from @TimBoster, who writes in, do you think that the Warriors need more help on the defensive end or on the offensive end? Would you agree positionally that it seems like they need one big man center, two more wings, and a backup point guard? Currently, they have three assets to fill those needs, the TPE, MLE, and second overall pick. Yeah, I think that they need more help on the defensive end than the offensive end. I think they need more help on both. Obviously, this was the last rated offense in the league last year and the fifth worst defense in the league last season. So you would think that they would just need that of the two, they would need to improve the offense. But that's going to get better with just Steph Curry and Klay Thompson coming back. With Steph and Klay and then Andrew Wiggins being able to score, you know, 18, 20 points per game, whatever that's going to end up being, I think you're going to see a dramatic lift in the Warriors' offense. I think that with those guys, you're pretty much looking at one of the, you know, at least an offense that's going to rank in the top half of the league. And depending on what kind of season Steph and Klay have, it could be a top 10 offense still, and I trust Steve Kerr's offense enough. I don't know that getting guy even like Klay Thompson back and even a healthy Kevon Looney and Draymond Green trying hard for a full season, if just that is enough to improve this defense. There's still huge holes to fill from Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, and Sean Livingston. There's guys that have a pretty steep learning curve. I know Andrew Wiggins has been in the league for quite a while, and he looks like the part of a defender. And in that small sample size that he played with Golden State, the results were encouraging, but still it was a small sample size. You need to see him do it for the balance of an entire regular season, let alone the playoffs. And I think that it's going to take more than just getting guys healthy and internal development to improve Golden State's defense. They're going to need to add personnel, right? And so I think part of that is a traditional size center, you know, a 7-footer who can bang bodies with guys like Anthony Davis and Nikola Jokic in the post. But it's also going to take more wing defenders too. Klay Thompson and Wiggins are probably starting they're going to start at the 2 and the 3, but who comes off the bench? I don't trust Eric Paschal to switch on to you know, more athletic wings just yet. They need a guy, at least one guy, who's a high-level defender. And so when I look at what they need to do on the perimeter, and so when I look at what they need to do in the offseason, that to me is a major need, is just finding a defensive-minded wing who can come in and guard guys and potentially be part of a closing group that includes Steph, Klay, Wiggins, and Draymond, right? Who is the Andre Iguodala of this group? You know, who is the Sean Livingston of this group? I don't think they have that yet. I think they can find that in the draft, by the way. I think that there's guys at the top of this draft. I look at Tyrese Haliburton, Devin Vassell, Isaac Okoro, a Patrick Williams even. Guys who can walk in right away and have an immediate impact on the defensive end. I think there's guys that you can have in this draft to do that. The trade exception might be a little tough to find that sort of player. Teams aren't really trying to part with, good defensive wing players who are long and athletic, which is what the Warriors need. So that could be hard to find with the TPE, let alone the MLE. Like, the mid-level exception, you might be locked into guys like Mo Harkless, who, you know, decent player, but, you know, is very limited offensively. You're not sure if he's going to be able to get on the court and play. So I think that with this number two pick, that might be the route that they go in order to fill that need, oddly enough, considering that you wouldn't usually rely on a rookie for that sort of responsibility. Moving on to John Gennaro's question, how should Golden State address the backup point guard spot this season? Super important to monitor Steph's minutes. I believe no more than 30 minutes I know the need is wings. So Dennis Schroeder and Ricky Rubio are out. Do they draft Tyrese Halliburton? I like him and Vassell. Well, John, I like Halliburton and Vassell too. I think I've made that pretty clear here. But I don't think that they need to address the point guard spot with a traditional point guard. I'm kind of anti-backup point guards in the traditional sense. Usually they're not good enough. They're backups because they're not good enough offensively to make up for the shortcomings that they have on the defensive end. Because these traditional point guards are usually 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". They're giving up a lot of size. They're usually not strong at the point of attack. I think the Warriors need that when we're talking about improving this defense. Even if you brought in, like, say, a DJ Augustine, who can run your offense and is a nice veteran presence, he's going to get attacked defensively. And so even I think you're better off doing a backup point guard by approach or by committee approach like the Warriors have. Like, they used guys like Livingston and Iguodala and Draymond Green and those guys who are ball handlers off some, you know, Iguodala and Livingston coming off the bench and Draymond Green starting alongside Steph. They're all those guys are able to relieve Steph of some of those playmaking duties. By the way, you want Steph running off the ball and being a threat off the ball too, as much as he possibly can. So I think that they're better off even going with a longer player, a more versatile defender with some ball handling skills. I think of like a Justice Winslow from Memphis. Can you acquire him with the TPE and maybe have him serve that Andre Iguodala type role where he's not a traditional point guard? He's not going to lead your offense in that sense. And he is giving up some playmaking abilities to, you know, he's not as good as a playmaker as, say, a DJ Augustine or somebody with more experience who plays the position traditionally, but he's not going to be a negative factor on defense. If anything, he'll be a positive impact. And I think, you know, for what you're looking for as far as closing games and contributing playoff minutes, meaningful playoff minutes, and helping the team, that tends to be the sort of thing that I think they're looking for. And by the way, if you look at other teams in the league who are high-achieving teams, they tend to approach the position of backup point guard similarly. One more question from John. Actually, John's got a few questions, and we'll just get to all of them. If both are on the board in a trade-back scenario, who would you pick? Do you go veteran minimum on a Michael Carter-Williams or DJ Augustine? I see possible trade options with New York that could include Frank Ntilikina in the deal. So this is a backup, or this, I guess, is a continuation of the last question. Between Vassell and Halliburton, if I were to trade back, who would I pick? I think I'm taking Vassell right now. I've been on the Halliburton bandwagon for a long time, but I like Vassell's upside. He's 6'7 with a near 7-foot wingspan. I think there's some off the dribble potential there. I really, really am into his upside. I have him number 2 on my board, and I might even have him to number 1 above Anthony Edwards at some point. Still, Anthony Edwards is number 1 on my board if I'm the Warriors, but Vassell's number 2, and I think you could trade back and still get him. As far as some backup point guards, no, I wouldn't go DJ Augustine. I actually don't mind the Michael Carter-Williams idea. He's long, 6'5", 6'6", a good defender, effective defender, and good enough defensively where I can see him playing a Sean Livingston-type role for Golden State. Probably not the scorer that Livingston is, but he's coming along, right? He had a nice year in Orlando. So I actually like the Michael Carter-Williams fit. I think that makes a lot of sense for the Warriors. If you want to trade back with New York and get a Frank Ntilikina, I think that's fine. I would actually probably rather have Michael Carter-Williams over Ntilikina, though Ntilikina probably has more upside. I wouldn't mind either one of them, but it wouldn't just be number 2, 4, 8 and Ntilikina. I would probably need a future first-round pick to really make it worth moving down 6 spots or 7. Yeah, 6 spots. That seems to me a little too steep just to get a backup point guard in Frank Ntilikina, where you could basically address that in free agency with a Michael Carter-Williams or even like a Chris Dunn at the mid-level exception. I want to take a quick break in this marathon mailbag and talk about Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. These easy-to-carry 1.5-ounce packages are perfect to bring in your briefcase or in your golf bag. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy, but without the same crash feeling, plus it's natural, so it's better for the body. It comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. But how does Built Go work so well? Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, a fast-absorbing protein that gets into the system fast and promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better as well as feel better. So here's the offer. Visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Okay, one last question from John. Given Marc Gasol is off the radar and Serge Ibaka likely to get an offer better than the MLE, who's on your board? They aren't going to invest big dollars on a center anyway, but given the financial uncertainty, who could fall from the MLE range to a veteran minimum? Aaron Baines, Myers Leonard, Mason Plumlee, Dwight Howard, frowny face emoji. No, I don't think Dwight Howard's an option. I think when you look at guys like Aaron Baines and Myers Leonard, they make sense as far as being able to space the floor. And they're big, right? They're both, you know, close to 7 feet tall, if not right there. And provide rebounding and size that I think could be really helpful for Golden State. I think Myers Leonard could be had at the veteran minimum. Aaron Baines might command a little bit more because he had such a productive season. So you might have to dip into that MLE range, but not the full mid-level exception. I think you could break that up for Aaron Baines or Myers Leonard. And as far as their three-point shooting, I mean, they're going to help space the floor. I think that's definitely something the Warriors are looking for. They would love to get somebody who could shoot threes from the center position. I don't know that that's the number one priority going into the offseason. They're going to sign a center, okay? They're going to add one more body at least to that rotation with Kevon Looney and Marquese Chriss. And they're going to want to do it with a, you know, a bigger guy who, like I said, can battle with the bigger centers in the league. And you look specifically at a guy like Anthony Davis and the Lakers' front line of Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. The Lakers are going to stay big, right? You need to add some size if you're going to get through the Lakers. So I think that's the number one priority. And if that player happens to be able to shoot threes well, then great bonus. And that's why I think Marc Gasol was a great option. But if he is indeed going to Spain, and recently, by the way, his brother Pau Gasol came out and said that those reports are maybe a little premature. It still seems like it's trending in that direction, but I guess it's not a done deal. But yeah, I think Serge Ibaka could still be an option with the mid-level exception if Toronto decides to move on, which I think that they may because they're trying to maintain cap space in 2021. And then Aaron Baines, Myers Leonard, I think those are good picks. I like the Mason Plumlee idea a lot, though, because not only is he a traditional seven-footer in the sense of the size, but he's a good rebounder, and he's a really good playmaker from that position as well, where Aaron Baines really isn't. Myers Leonard can be a good playmaker. We saw that this last year in Miami. But Plumlee, I think, is better defensively than Baines and Leonard is, or are. And again, he is a high-level playmaker at that position, like an Andrew Bogut. And I think he would be really valuable in Steve Kerr's offense. I think they would rather have that playmaking ability plus the defensive acumen versus just the stretching ability, the stretch-the-floor ability, where those guys may not be a stout defender. I mean, Myers Leonard starred for the Heat all season long with Bam Adebayo playing power forward, but he's basically been out of the rotation, okay, in the playoffs. You don't want a guy who's not going to be able to play in the playoffs. We saw Mason Plumlee play in the playoffs. You know, he's a playoff-caliber type player. He did give up, you know, that game winner to Anthony Davis in game two of the Western Conference Finals. That was more of a defensive gaffe that is not really in... it's not, you know, normal for Mason Plumlee. He's usually a pretty smart defender. So I like him. If you can get him at the mid-level exception, I think that makes a lot of sense. Or you go with an Aaron Baines or a Myers Leonard type guy at the minimum. But I think both those guys are going to get some offers more than the minimum because teams just want, you know, floor spacing fives. This question comes from Kayla, who writes in, do you see any chance of a trade with Chicago happening to move down to four and selecting Denny Avdija? What might this trade look like? I could see Chicago trying to move up from four to number two. There are some rumors that Chicago is really high on Killian Hayes, and I think Charlotte is high on Killian Hayes. And so if Chicago is trying to get Killian Hayes, then they might feel the need to move up over Charlotte at number three. And so I think a trade back to number four makes a lot of sense. Like, I would be watching for a 2-4 trade down on draft night. Like, that makes sense to me. You know, if Chicago and so I think what that trade would look like and most of these trades would look like is just, you know, number two for number four and a future first round pick. It's pretty simple. When you talk about trades like this in the top five of the draft, it typically just involves draft picks, right? You're really not moving players all that much, only because players are typically hard to move because you need to match salary and stuff like that. I don't know that the Warriors want to match salary in a trade. Like, they have the trade exception, but is there really anybody on Chicago that they want to use the trade exception on? I'm not so sure. you don't want to match salaries with a Kevon Looney or something like that. It seems like Kevon is healthy, and they're going to want to go into next season with him on the roster and see what they can get out of him. So I think it would just be number two for number four and a future first-round pick that's, you know, protected for something. Maybe, you know, top 10, top 5, whatever they agree on the protections. But that would basically be the trade. If it's with Chicago at number four, if it's Atlanta at number six, or Detroit at number seven, whatever the deal is, I think that's what we're looking at. And I get a lot of trade ideas about, you know, Chicago and Chris Dunn or the Knicks and Mitchell Robinson for this trade down stuff. And, you know, it's possible that kind of thing happens. But it's more likely that it just involves picks. And I think if you're the Warriors, that's really good. I think I would, if I'm the Warriors, prefer that pick over, you know, Chris Dunn or Mitchell Robinson or something like that, because that pick has value in a trade. And if you're the Warriors and you're accumulating assets to make a move on a superstar in the future, then the more first-round picks you have, the better, right? We've seen that. Those are really helpful in making these trades happen. And so I'd rather have that than just some sort of player to come off the bench. Forrest Dunbar writes in, right now, what appears to be the most realistic trade-down options in the draft? The Knicks, the Pistons, what would their offers look like to the Warriors? And are there any rumors that, or of overtures that have been made? Kind of like what I just said, I do. The Warriors are open to trading down. I think if LaMelo Ball ends up going to number one, you could see the Knicks end up moving up to number one, or the Pistons, right? Both of those teams would like to have LaMelo Ball. So I actually don't look at the Knicks or the Pistons as teams that are going to trade with the Warriors. I think those are teams that could trade with Minnesota at number one and try to get LaMelo. Now, if that's the case and LaMelo goes number one, Anthony Edwards is there at number two, Atlanta still makes sense to me as a potential destination for Anthony Edwards. I think there are a few teams that would like to have Anthony Edwards. So yeah, Atlanta, I think Chicago could try to move up and get Killian Hayes, like I just said. Charlotte could get involved in that too. If they're sensing like, if Chicago's calling Golden State and saying, hey, we want to move up, Golden State's going to call, like Bob Myers is going to call Charlotte and be like, hey, by the way, Chicago's trying to move up. Do you want to beat their offer? I mean, that's how you do things in this league. So Charlotte can move up just from three to number two. I think that's fair. And maybe if you're Bob Myers, you trade back a couple times and just do this thing Bill Belichick style. I don't know how far, though, that the Warriors are going to want to move back. I still think that they want to stay within that top six range to get one of the, you know, the Vassal, Denny Avia, Halliburton type guys if they do indeed move back. Let's do one more question before we go to a break here. Yenri writes in, is there any chance the Warriors are looking ahead to the 2021 draft before they make their move in the 2020 draft? For example, might they be willing to trade lower in this year's draft for more picks or pieces that they can use to trade for Cade Cunningham next year? I don't think that the Warriors are looking ahead to the 2021 that way. You don't know where that Minnesota pick is going to end up. You don't know where your own pick is going to end up. That Minnesota pick is top three protected. So if we're all assuming that Cade Cunningham, who seems to be the stud of next year's draft, goes number one or certainly in the top three, then you're not going to be able to get him because that pick stays with Minnesota if it lands in the top three. So I tend to be a little bit more down on, you know, the Warriors draft possibilities in 2021 than I think a lot of people are, only because you just don't know where that pick is going to be. You know you have the number two pick right now. I think you need to approach this pick, and by the way, this is how the Warriors are approaching it. You approach this pick saying, let's get the best player possible, the player who we believe can make multiple All-Star games in his career. Let's just take this player. And then when 2021 rolls around, we'll deal with it. We'll take another great player in that draft, or we'll move that pick, or whatever. But you deal with it when you have to cross that bridge. For now, just do what you can in the 2020 draft, and don't try to overcomplicate this thing by thinking about next year's draft at all. All right. I have another question coming up about some low-cost veterans that the Warriors could pursue this offseason. This is Locked On Warriors. If you haven't already done so, now is the perfect time to subscribe to Locked On Warriors and get the new podcast episodes automatically every day. Got a lot of questions in this mailbag, and what I'm going to do is break this up into two parts. So this is Friday's episode that you're listening to. I'm going to break this up into two parts and have another episode come out Monday morning, sort of wrapping up this marathon mailbag. But let's get to this next question from Alan Frank, who writes in, Is there any word around minicamp about some low-cost veterans that the Warriors are focusing on for possible bench roles next season? Bob Myers has a great track record for finding those pieces that just fit. I think one of the names that came out of minicamp was Jonathan Simmons, right? But Jonathan Simmons went ahead and signed that deal in China. And so unless he gets a guaranteed contract in the NBA, he's going to stay, like, he's able to break his contract in China if he gets a guaranteed deal in the, NBA. That seems unlikely, at least from the Warriors. And so as far as specific low-cost veterans that the Warriors can go after this offseason, no. No specific names. But I think it's fair to assume that they're going to go out and acquire one veteran wing and one veteran center, at the very least. Now you could do that with the minimum, the MLE, the trade exception. I think that they're gonna I think what they're gonna do is add a perimeter piece in the draft, and they're gonna add another veteran wing and another free agent center. We talked about some of them already on this show. Aaron Baines, Myers Leonard, Serge Ibaka, Mason Plumlee, Alex Len, Tyler Zeller. These are the guys that are who could potentially be on their radar, who make sense for what the Warriors like to get from that position, or would like to get from that position. And as far as wings are concerned, you know, there's guys like Jay Crowder, but it seems like he's going to stay in Miami after this finals run. So you might be looking at guys more like Mo Harkless, Andre Roberson, defensive-minded wings who are limited offensively. Wouldn't hurt to have them coming off your bench, right? And maybe playing alongside guys like Steph and Clay and Wiggins and Draymond will help them offensively, but wouldn't be necessarily guys that are able to contribute at that Andre Iguodala level where they actually can be a factor on offense. I think you might be looking at something a little bit less than that, but could be valuable. I think, but nonetheless, I think they will be looking for size and probably somebody who can at least contribute a little bit offensively, even if they're not as stout defensively, right, as a Harkless or a Roberson, but can at least do something offensively. The lists of free agents are out there. I'll let you sort of decide who you think might be a good fit. Kent Bazemore could make a return to Golden State. That's just a name I'm throwing out there, even though he hasn't been very effective the last few years. But there's a lot of guys, right? There's a lot of wings out there. I think Golden State's going to go ahead and grab one of them for at least the minimum or the mid-level exception. Jay writes in, what's the plan now that Jonathan Simmons has signed in China? Is Glenn Robinson III or maybe Alec Burks back on the table? And has there been any talk of Kelly Oubre for the number two pick amongst Bob Myers? Also, from 1 to 10, 10 being like very likely, is Michael Mulder on the team next season? A couple different questions here. I talked about the Jonathan Simmons thing. I think Glenn Robinson III would at least take a meeting with the Warriors. I don't know that the fit makes as much sense as it does on its face to a lot of Warriors fans. What Glenn Robinson had this last season in Golden State was a starting role, an opportunity to be very productive, and a chance to increase his market value this offseason. They traded him to Philadelphia. He did not play as much, played a little bit, did not play as much, and I think his value kind of tanked a little bit. I think he's going to be looking to do this offseason is find a situation where he's going to be able to play a lot, maybe even start, but certainly be part of the key rotation, and on a one-year deal and possibly increase his market value. Now, maybe Golden State can offer that. I don't think that they can. I think that there may be other places that Glenn Robinson can do that aren't necessarily playoff teams. Like, they could just be, you know, lottery-type teams, but teams that he can play and you know, maybe earn one more long-term-ish, bigger contract for his career. Alec Burks probably ends up signing somewhere else. I don't really see him coming back. There's just too many questions about his defense, and you know, he's an okay passer, but he's not a great passer. A little bit of a score-first guy. Maybe the Warriors can use some of that, but with Jordan Poole progressing, with Eric Paschal already coming off the bench as a score-first option, and the Warriors likely adding, you know, another wing player in this draft. I just don't know that the minutes are there for Burks. And then as far as Kelly Oubre for the number two pick, maybe. I think we pretty much know what Kelly Oubre's ceiling is. He's a good player right now who can help, but I think we know what his ceiling is. And I think if you're Bob Myers and these Warriors, I think you can get a guy with a higher ceiling than Kelly Oubre, and I think it's worth going in that direction. Now, maybe you move the 2021 pick for Kelly Oubre. I don't see them doing that either, but maybe that's an option. Or you trade back from number 2 to number 10 where Phoenix is. That, to me, again, is a little bit of a steep drop-off. I don't love how far you're going back. But and then the other thing with Oubre, you just can't assume everybody's going to be like Iguodala and just accept coming off the bench and be cool with that. Right? Like, what do you do with Oubre? You're going to bring him off the bench? I mean, I suppose you can. Is he Andrew Wiggins' backup? Klay Thompson's backup? Like, I guess that makes sense, but are you really getting a lot of value out of that player now? I don't know. I have my questions, and I see the Oubre thing pop up a lot. It made more sense to me, and I like Oubre a lot as a player, by the way, but he's not a great ball mover, really a score-first kind of guy. If that's who you want leading your bench unit, go ahead, but I think you could do that cheaper and without giving up the number 2 pick in the draft. I think there's just going to be diminishing returns if that's sort of the role he plays, right? It made more sense before the Wiggins trade. But now with Wiggins there, you have your starting small forward. Could you start Draymond and Wiggins and then Oubre and Klay and Steph? Yeah, I guess. But that's giving up a lot of size in the Western Conference that tends to play big. So I wouldn't be as comfortable with that. So I think the Oubre thing is a little less likely. And then as far as Mulder being on the team next year, 1 out of 10, 10 being very likely. I think I would go probably an 8 with... the caveat meaning that it being that Michael Mulder being on a two-way contract is still technically on the team, and I think that might be where he ends up, Michael Mulder playing on a two-way next year, which makes a lot of sense, I think, for both sides, really. All right, that's my last question for this episode and for this week. Tune in Monday morning for part 2 of this marathon mailbag. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to the podcast. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thanks to Built Go for sponsoring today's episode. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here next week.